You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Thursday, everybody. The Sacramento Kings are in Beantown, Boston, Massachusetts, to take on the Celtics tonight. You are listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, this is the place for you. And if you call yourself a Kings fan like we had yesterday on Fans Only Episode 3, you are in the right place, not just to hear Kings talk and Kings conversation, but to be a part of Kings talk and Kings conversation. I have the privilege of being your host. My name is Matt George. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. Today, Kings back in action after a couple days off, and they start a very difficult doubleheader to end this short Eastern Conference road trip. Celtics tonight, Philadelphia, 76ers tomorrow. However, it's not all doom and gloom. I have a little bit of good news, well, potentially good news, I should say, that I'll share with you in a little bit in regards to Marvin Bagley. We'll discuss the Kings starting five tonight if Bogdan Bogdanovic should continue to be in it despite his struggles consistently as a starter for the Kings. Have some numbers for you to support that and to just show really the difference of Bogey's production off the bench and as a starter. Maybe Nemanja Bjelica is inserted back into the starting lineup as he's been playing well over the last couple of days. We'll discuss that in just a little bit. The Utah Jazz won last night over the Phoenix Suns. They are in action tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's important because the Jazz are one of the three teams, but really two teams, the Kings are trying to catch for the eighth or seventh seed in the Western Conference. However, I took the time a couple days ago to really sift through the Jazz schedule to see who they have coming up and if there are stretches where maybe they could fall short, that the Kings could try and snatch the eighth seed away from you. And it doesn't look too good in terms of difficult schedules and stretches for them. So I will share that with you, and we'll look at the Jazz schedule together and see if we can talk ourselves into the possibility of the Kings taking the eighth seed away from them. Certainly not out of it yet, but a lot of ground to make up, not too much time left. The Kings would have to start essentially tonight by going on a pretty significant win streak, and that's going to be difficult to do, not just in Boston, but in a doubleheader with also the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow night. Also came across a very interesting article about Sacramento Kings training camp and how hard Dave Yeager and the Kings coaching staff made these young Kings work. It paid off in the end. They were one of the best teams coming out of the gate, especially in terms of pace. They still are at the top of the league in pace and play fast, but they caught a lot of teams off guard and tired out a lot of teams because of the conditioning and the hard work that they put in during training camp. This article talks about that and then some, with some interesting and fun player quotes. So I'll be sharing that for you as well. Also have a Locked On Kings question of the day at the end to share with you. And I appreciate everybody who has shared their feedback after the Fans Only podcast yesterday. Three episodes down, and all three of them have been some of the most successful episodes that we've had here. You seem to really enjoy not just hearing yourselves, if you are part of those three podcasts, which if you were, thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure to be able to talk to you and have you here on the podcast. But even those fans that just listen and don't interact as much or don't necessarily want to be on the podcast itself, you seem to really enjoy hearing not just from me, but hearing from your fellow fan, hearing their takes, their backgrounds, their stories, and you draw similarities and maybe learn some interesting differences between this vast and incredibly awesome fan base that the Sacramento Kings have. So I'm glad you enjoyed Fans Only 3. We'll definitely do Fans Only 4, 5, 6. We'll keep doing them until people don't want to come on anymore. And if you are interested in being on the next Fans Only, we're not going to be doing it probably for another month or so, but you can let me know right now and I can get you down on the list. Just email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. You can also reach me via Twitter if that's easier for you, @MattGeorgeKHDK there. So the Kings are taking on the Boston Celtics tonight, and the Kings lost to the Celtics in Sacramento just last week. They did not have Marvin Bagley for that game, and they may not have Marvin Bagley for this game here tonight. However, some good news: Marvin Bagley is officially listed as questionable. He's been rehabbing that that knee injury after taking a shot to the knee by a screen from the Milwaukee Bucks. I think it was Malcolm Brogdon that laid the screen. He's been out for quite a while, and unfortunately, his exit and his absence came just at the wrong time as the Kings were really looking to pick up the pace and try and make up some ground and make a last-ditch effort push towards the playoffs. And that's not completely over yet. However, the best opportunities, in my opinion, are behind the Kings. And having Marvin Bagley would have made a world of difference, especially with how much he's been involved and how much he's really come to his own, both off the bench and even as a starter before he went down with the Kings. He was finding consistent minutes, and we've seen the drop-off, especially with the Kings' second unit. Consistently, Kings' bigs have struggled to score, with the exception of Marvin Bagley, who's become a consistent go-to option. I've called him the go-to option for the Kings in half-court sets. And teams are recognizing that the Kings, their biggest weakness on the offensive end of the floor is in the half-court. They're not a well-oiled machine or well-oiled unit in the half-court sets yet. They do have a playbook, but it's very basic, very simple. And as many Kings fans know, and I know many of you have pulled your hair out over the course of this and past seasons, watching the Kings struggle to execute basic offensive sets and ending up basically wasting shot clock or getting bad shots up due to isolation and dribble-heavy play. Marvin Bagley has been somewhat of a correction to that, playing him out of the high post or the low post. Same thing with Harry Giles, too. The two of them have been so important for the Kings in half-court offensive sets to make sure they get a bucket and take some of the pressure off their guards, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, etc. So potentially having Marvin Bagley back tonight could be incredible. Now, normally when players are coming back from a injury, especially during a doubleheader, teams tend to either put minutes restrictions on or play it simple, play it safe. And now the Kings aren't necessarily in a position this season to play it safe if they want to make it to the playoffs. They are in a position to play it safe in terms of the longevity of Marvin Bagley's career. This is the third time he's been injured this season. All three of his injuries have not been his fault. He is not injury prone. It's just things that happen. But this is the second time he's injured that left knee. So I'm sure the Kings are going to choose to err more on the side of caution and protect their second round or their second overall pick and make sure that he'll be good to go for years to come and that some of that incredible potential that he has and really superstar potential that he has isn't taken away or put at risk so he can try and help this Kings team make a last-ditch effort to be an eighth seed. So I know the Kings are going to make sure he is 100%, well, not 100%, but probably 85-90% good to go by the time he actually returns, and I would not be surprised at all if he does play tonight to not play in Philly tomorrow. Now, if he doesn't play tonight and plays in Philly tomorrow, it's the same thing, although I'd rather him return against the Celtics, which I believe is the more winnable game, rather than return against Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. They're playing out of their minds right now. They have a lot of talent. They also have Tobias Harris, who's demolished the Kings so far this season. So if I'm the Kings, I'm looking to try and get Marvin Bagley in the game and get him there tonight. Try and find a way to pick up this win in Boston against the Celtics team that you almost beat at home. Now, granted, you were without Kyrie, or they were without Kyrie Irving in that game. And quite frankly, this season statistically, now this is just numbers and doesn't necessarily, in my opinion, reflect on truth. But they've played statistically better and had more success as a team this season without Kyrie than with him. However, the Kings are not really capable of guarding Kyrie or handling him on the perimeter. We know how bad the Kings' perimeter defense is. So Kyrie Irving playing tonight would not be a good thing for the Kings regardless. So they almost beat the Celtics without Kyrie, and that was also without Marvin Bagley. So tonight's game, certainly winnable, and we heard a lot of Kings players, including Willie Cauley-Stein, say that they were proud of the way that they played in that loss to Boston and Sacramento, but they allowed it to slip away, and they were disappointed, frustrated with how it ended up. The Boston Celtics made a lot of tough shots in that game. Remember, they were coming off of a ridiculously hot shooting night the night before against the Golden State Warriors. Gordon Hayward made that tough game-winning shot. So the Kings felt that they did everything that they could correctly on the defensive end. The Boston Celtics just made tough shots and ended up winning that game. So they're out for a little bit of revenge tonight. We know the Kings, I mean, they want every game and they want to win every game, but there's definitely some extra motivation to get this one tonight in Boston. And if the reality is, if you lose this game in Boston tonight, most likely you're staring at a 1-3 road trip. And I've said this a couple of times now, but really definitively, you're out of the playoff race. Now, the Kings do return home following these two games. They're back home on Sunday. I think they play the Chicago Bulls, which is game one of a pretty favorable four-game homestand where they were against the Bulls, the Nets, the Mavericks, and the Phoenix Suns. So there's definitely winnable games around the corner, but you can't fall too far behind. I mean, you're about as far behind right now in the standings with 16 games left as you can be with still having a legitimate chance. So very necessary game tonight for this Kings team. We know they're going to show up and be ready to play, especially maybe a little pissed off after the dropped game in Washington, which was just a nightmare on so many levels. I'm expecting a nice bounce back performance from Buddy Hield tonight. And I'm just expecting overall a lot more consistent and smooth offensive execution and a much better start to the game than what they had in Washington. Now, a lot of that has to do, of course, with the starters that you put out there. And Bogdan Bogdanovic, over the last, I'd say, month or so, has been finding himself consistently as a starter, less than a month, really, has been finding himself consistently as a starter in that three spot as they've moved Harrison Barnes to the four and Nemanja Bjelica somewhat fell out of the rotation. Well, now with the Marvin Bagley injury, Bjelica's made his way back into the rotation, and he's been playing well over the last couple of games, scoring double digits, hitting outside shots, grabbing rebounds. He's doing all that he can to make up for the lack of production of Marvin Bagley being injured. And Bogey, I hate to say this because he's one of my favorite players, one of the nicest guys to talk to. Of course, he did have that heroic moment, that game winner against the Los Angeles Lakers earlier on in the season. But this has been a tough, tough season for Bogey. Remember, he missed the first four or five games with the injury and then came back and started playing the majority of the time off of the bench. And he was playing very, very well with that second unit as the leader of that second unit. But since he's really transitioned into a starter role, and even over the last month or so of him being a bench player, we've seen him get into a lot of trouble, especially over dribbling the ball, getting himself into tough sets, having to put up bad step back threes, isolation, jump shots from mid range. He's just been struggling to get any kind of offensive consistency. And a lot of that has to do with the change of roles for him. I'm not saying that he cannot be the player that he was last year with this roster and this unit currently. But last year, Bogdan Bogdanovic was arguably the best player on the Kings team, and consistently his role, especially after George Hill was traded, was to run the offense and be the primary ball handler and set up the offense and get assists and basically run the team. He was one of the guys, if not the guy, with the highest basketball IQ that played consistently. Now, De'Aaron Fox has somewhat taken that banner. Fox having a much better year as a distributor and as a floor general, as you expect from a future star point guard. And Bogey has had to transition a little bit more to a scoring role. Now, if you were with me last season at this time on the Locked On Kings podcast, I was saying I wanted to see Bogey score and shoot more, especially from three-point range, because he had a decent three-point shooting percentage. This year, he's been leaned on more as an offensive player, as a scorer, as someone to get you buckets, and it's really been difficult for him, especially in the starting lineup. NBC Sports wrote an article about Bogey in the starting lineup, written by James Hamm. You've heard him on the podcast before, Sacramento Kings insider. You definitely need to follow him on Twitter if you do not already. But he threw out some numbers of Bogey with the starting lineup and how the Kings perform versus Bogey with the bench and how the Kings perform. He wrote this: the current starting lineup of Bogdanovic, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, and Willie Cauley-Stein is averaging 14.8 minutes per game together on the floor. Over that stretch, they are running a minus 1.1 in the plus-minus category as a five-man rotation. And it's a small sample size, but at least one red flag pops up. Sacramento is one of the better three-point shooting teams in the NBA, but with this lineup, the team is shooting just 30.2% from behind the arc. So you're putting Bogey in at the three spot, for the most part, because of his offense, but the Kings are shooting a worse percentage from three-point than they were with Nemanja Bjelica and Harrison Barnes on the floor, instead of Bogey and Barnes at the three and the four. And then you look at the numbers for Bogey specifically. As a off the bench, in 17 starts, he's posting 13.6 points, 4.6 assists, and 4.4 rebounds in 31.2 minutes per game. I mean, that's not a horrific stat line, but he is just shooting 37% from the field and 35% from three-point range. Now, with the reserves coming off the bench as a first option, really the sixth man, in 37 games, he's averaging 15 points, 3.8 assists, 3.3 rebounds, and 27.3 minutes per game. You'll notice that his assists and rebounds are down, but his minutes are only four less, and he is averaging 15 more points, which is scoring off the bench, which is what this Kings team needs. His overall shooting percentage off the bench is 43%. So it goes from 37% as a starter to 43% off the bench. His three-point shooting percentage does dip a little bit from the starting lineup to the off the bench. He's only shooting 33% as a three-point shooter off the bench. This has been a rough year for Bogey as a three-point shooter, and that's something that he's very well aware of. If you watch him during warm-ups, if you're ever at a game, that is what he is working on consistently. There's been a handful of times that even after a game where he's played 25, 30 minutes, he will go out and get more shots up and get that work in to try and correct his issues. So he's aware of the struggles that he's going through, and nobody wants to fix them and improve on them better than him. He's been in a slump this season, especially after the great start that he had last year. I don't think it's means to panic at all whatsoever. But if I was Dave Yeager, if I was changing the starting lineup tonight or putting my starting lineup out there, I would bring Bogey back off of the bench, regardless of if Marvin Bagley's available to play or not, and I'd insert Nemanja Bjelica back into the starting lineup to space the floor. I think that's also a better matchup, Bjelica against Markieff Morris, and you can allow Harrison Barnes to handle Jason Tatum rather than Bogey handle Jason Tatum. We saw how that went in Sacramento. Jason Tatum absolutely ate Bogey alive. So I'm curious what you think. Would you keep Bogey in the starting lineup tonight, or would you rather have Nemanja Bjelica start at the four? Did you like Bogey better as a six man coming off the bench? Let me know at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter or email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Like I said earlier, the Utah Jazz are one of the two teams that the Kings are trying to catch. And until last night, they were in a little bit of a skid, a little bit of a slide, but they had a good opportunity for a get-right game against the Phoenix Suns, and they took full advantage, really smacking the Phoenix Suns. San Antonio has also been on an incredible tear right now. They won their sixth straight game, so they might be out of reach for this Kings team, who is now 5 full games back of San Antonio in the sixth seed. The Kings are just 4.5 games back. I shouldn't say just 4.5. They're 4.5 games back of the Utah Jazz and LA Clippers, who are both in the seventh and eighth seed. But really, they're 5.5 games back of the Clippers because they don't own or have any chance at a tiebreaker there. So the Utah Jazz are realistically the team that this Kings squad is trying to catch and steal that last playoff spot away. It's unlikely, especially when you look at the Utah Jazz schedule. Like I mentioned, they're at home tonight and they're hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. We know how difficult Utah is for a place to play as a road team. The Minnesota Timberwolves are out of it and don't really have too much to play for, not to mention the biggest asset that the Timberwolves has offensively. Karl Anthony Towns has to go against arguably the best defensive big on the planet, and that's Rudy Gobert. So I'm expecting a Jazz win tonight. And then you look at the remainder of their schedule, and it's very favorable, like very favorable. If I'm a Utah Jazz fan, I'm feeling 100% confident that this team will make the playoffs. Now, as Kings fans, this is hard to hear, but I'm going to go through the remainder of the schedule for you, as they only have about 15 or so games left, and you can see for yourself how much of an uphill climb it really is for this Kings team. It's going to require the Spurs, the Clippers, or the Jazz to completely fall apart down the stretch for this Kings team to get there. We're seeing with the Spurs, they're a veteran team with two superstars and a veteran head coach, and they're winning when it matters, when it counts right now. The LA Clippers have had the Kings number all season long. They're also very well coached by Doc Rivers, and Lou Williams is playing out of his mind. And then the Utah Jazz, they've been there before, a lot of talent, especially on the defensive end of the floor. I think all these teams will hold up, and the Kings, unfortunately, will be the bubble team in the West this season. But here's this Jazz schedule. Tonight against the Timberwolves, and then they host the Brooklyn Nets on Saturday. Brooklyn's a better team, so you could argue there's a chance that Brooklyn could win this game. Then the Jazz go on a 4-game road trip, but it's as easy of a road trip as you could ask for. You have the Wizards, the Knicks, the Hawks, and the Bulls. Then you return home for the Suns, the Lakers, and the Wizards. So you're beating the Suns probably again. You're beating the Lakers because the Lakers are shutting everything down. You're probably beating the Wizards. So you still have to play the Wizards twice. They still have to play the Suns three times counting last night. So they still have two more games against the Phoenix Suns. So after that 4-game homestand, it's a 5-game homestand, they end it on April 1st, taking on the Charlotte Hornets. Then they're back on the road for a game against the Suns. Then they host the Kings. Then they're in LA for the Lakers. And then the final two games of the season are pretty difficult. They have the Nuggets and the Clippers. With the exception of those two games, this schedule is almost a breeze, or as easy as it can get for the Utah Jazz. So they have to be feeling very confident that they'll make it. All they really have to do is hold steady and finish around 500, and they will make it in. Really, it's going to require them. They could probably finish about and win only 40% of the remainder of their games and probably still make it into the playoffs, unless the Kings go on a massive tear of their own, which would require them winning tonight in Boston and winning tomorrow night against the Philadelphia 76ers. I wanted to bring up this article, though, that I read here today, and I had a really great time reading this, and I encourage you to check it out. It's on businessinsider.com. You wouldn't think there would be a good article about the Sacramento Kings on businessinsider.com, but it's written by Scott Davis, very well written, and it's titled, quote, "How a training camp so brutal that players were throwing up helped set the stage for the most surprising season in the NBA. And it's all about the Sacramento Kings and the brutal schedule and training camp that they were put through in order to have the conditioning to be able to play at the pace that they're playing, not just for the consistent majority of the season, but also for right out of the gate being effective. The reason why the Kings were so successful right out of the gate is because not only did they catch teams by surprise, they tired a lot of teams out. The best example I can give is the first time the Kings played the Timberwolves in Sacramento. Karl-Anthony Towns went for 30-plus points in the first half. And in the second half, he was so tired and exhausted, even coming out of the halftime break, that he was almost ineffective. Now, most teams have gotten into or are into full on their conditioning is as good as it's going to be because they're well into the season. So the Kings can't catch too many teams by surprise anymore in that sense and tire them out as much. But early on, because of this tough training camp that the Kings put on, Sacramento had a lot of success and a lot of really great stuff in this article. I'll just skim through some of it for you. They talk about a drill that the Kings did, which was a hell drill called 7x8. And what that is, it's 7 sprints, baseline to baseline, 8 separate times. I don't know if you've ever run sprints before. And it could be as a track star, whether you're playing baseball, who cares, whatever you're playing. Sprints are not fun, but sprints in the NBA and in basketball are especially not fun. And to do 7 of them baseline to baseline, that is a lot of sprinting. And then to do that 8 separate times over the course of the practice, I'm getting nauseous and wanting to throw up just saying that and thinking about it, so I can only imagine how these players felt. Some great quotes in this article as well. Willie Cauley-Stein said, "They ran the S out of us," and you know what S stands for. One of the assistant coaches and development coaches for the Kings, Larry Lewis, says, "They felt it. It was definitely a test." Buddy Hield said, "Guys hate running. I don't care what you say. No basketball player likes running, except for Marvin Bagley," who is, I guess, a little bit sick in the head, because Marvin Bagley said, he goes, "I like running. So when we did that, it was kind of cool getting in shape and competing with everybody, just trying to be the first guy in all the sprints, making it fun." So the Kings turned it into a competition, which was great. Bagley continued with saying, "Just turning my mind or tuning my mind, changing it from making it a bad thing to thinking of it in a positive way, just going out and getting better." So it was a good experience. Kings also scrimmaged heavily during this training camp. It wasn't just running sprints and then collapsing onto their couches at home and trying to catch their breath and retain their lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Also played a lot of scrimmages, getting used to playing with one another. That's why we got the increased chemistry, especially between Fox and Buddy Hield playing together on the perimeter. And it was because of these sprints and because of this extra effort that the Kings were in November, they had a pace of 107.4, I believe, was what their pace is now. They currently are first place in pace in the NBA right now at 104.47, but in November their pace was 107.06, so not 107.4, 107.06, which is the fastest a team has played in the last 23 years, or as far back as you can check on the NBA stats site. That's pretty incredible, and that has to do with the fact that this team, by the time they got to the start of the season, games were easier than what they had gone through in practice and in training camp, which you always want to make sure you don't tire your guys out and risk hurting your guys. But the fact that the Kings were able to start the season fully confident in their conditioning, in their ability to play hard for all 48 minutes, and really stepping into a game night scenario and saying, man, this is easier than what we're doing on our off days, that's pretty credible. So I encourage you to go check out this article on Business Insider. Again, it is titled, "How a Training Camp So Brutal That Players Were Throwing Up Helped Set the Stage for the Most Surprising Season in the NBA." It's a lot longer than what I just said. I only skimmed through the first couple of paragraphs for you. Go and check it out. Some great quotes from the Kings, some great information of the historic pace that this team is playing at and was playing at early on, and just gives you a bigger appreciation for what Dave Yeager and his coaching staff put these young guys through and how these young guys have responded and how hard they have worked to get to the point that they are at here today. Before we wrap up, wanted to throw out a Locked On Kings question of the day, and this is something you heard me ask a couple of times on the Fans Only podcast yesterday, but I wanted to get more response. We're already starting to talk a little bit about this summer for the Kings, because it's going to be a huge summer for not just the Kings, but for many teams. I can't tell you how excited I am about this summer for the NBA as a whole. What the New York Knicks are going to have to do to try and make that Kristaps Porzingis trade worthwhile. Are they really going to get Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or both? Are the Knicks going to become serious players and really take advantage of the fact and flex that Big Apple muscle that they have there in NYC? Or are they going to fall flat on their face, miss out again, continue to be a dumpster fire, and then that entire front office, I'm sure, will be fired and maybe run out of town by the angry New York mob? Then you also have the Boston Celtics. What are they going to do? Are they going to re-sign a lot of their players? How are they going to retain all these contracts? Are they going to trade Gordon Hayward? A lot going on there. Is Kawhi Leonard heading to the Los Angeles Clippers? Where's Anthony Davis going to go? What are the Lakers going to try and do to improve? Is Luke Walton gone? LeBron James going to get some of his boys there with him in L.A.? Are all those young players getting traded? So much up in the air this summer, and the Kings are going to be a part of all of that drama and all of that chaos. So I wanted to know what you think is at the top of the Kings list, or what you would like to be at the top of the list for the Kings this summer, of things that basically ask yourself, what do I need as a fan to see the Kings get done this year to make me happy and make me confident going into next season? Because I think we all agree next season is going to be completely about making the playoffs. A lot of teams, or a lot of people, have asked me if I would compare this Kings team to the Denver Nuggets of last year, who just missed out but made this massive jump, and they're probably going to finish the season the 2 seed. I don't expect the Kings to be a 2 seed next season, but I expect them to get in the playoffs, and a lot of that has to do with how good of a summer they have, both bringing back talent and then retaining the names and the talent that they have here currently. We know all the young players are under contract, but how about bringing Coach Dave Yeager back? How about Vlade Divac signing Harrison Barnes to a longer deal? There's a lot that the Kings can do and should do this summer, but I'm curious what's at the top of your list. So let me know right now at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, and I'd be happy to share some of those answers tomorrow on the Locked On Kings podcast. We will return tomorrow and break down this hopeful Kings win in Boston against the Celtics. If you want to follow along on the game with me on Twitter, it's a good place to interact, ask me questions, talk sports, talk Kings with me in general. Would love to talk to you and see you there. Until tomorrow, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.